It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. I'm joined here with District Attorney Michael Kane, the Chief of Detectives, Buffalo Police Department, Craig Macy, Erie County Sheriff, Under Sheriff Bill Cooley, the Chief of Narcotics and Intelligence, DJ Granville, and Deputy District Attorney John Ferraletto. We are here to announce the arrest of an Assistant District Attorney from Erie County assigned to Buffalo City Court. Yesterday morning, while Buffalo Police was investigating an ongoing unrelated crime that was completely unrelated to this, the Buffalo Police Department stumbled across, through cell phone records of an unrelated investigation that was occurring, that a phone number came up to an assistant district attorney assigned Fort Erie County assigned to city court. That information, which came up off of that subpoena that we were reviewing, obviously was very concerning. We spun up that investigation to go in a different direction, further identifying and building up information on this assistant district attorney. Notifications were immediately made to the district attorney of the fact that an assistant district attorney's name and number came up in this unrelated investigation. Again, they stress that this cell phone number was unrelated to the other pending investigation. The investigation moved very quickly, very rapidly. We were able to determine information working jointly with the Erie County Sheriff's Department that this assistant district attorney was using his office in a manner that violates the penal law of official misconduct. Approximately 6 p.m., just before 6 p.m., throughout the course of this investigation, the person was stopped on a traffic stop by an Erie County Sheriff's Department marked vehicle. He was taken into custody at that time, and ultimately Buffalo Police charged him with a misdemeanor of official misconduct. The assistant district attorney's name is Delencia Shannon Brown, 28 years old, of Buffalo. Obviously, this is very concerning when you have someone, a member of law enforcement, the law enforcement community, that is involved in misconduct. As you can see by everybody standing here, this was taken extremely seriously. We moved on it very rapidly. And at the highest levels of all three departments, all three agencies, everybody was involved to not only ensure that there was a violation of law, but the evidence supported that and was moved on extremely rapidly. When I'll get into the part of the traffic stop with the Sheriff's Department, I will turn this over now to Under Sheriff Bill Cooley to discuss the traffic stop.
Thanks, Commissioner. Obviously, our narcotics and intel units work very closely together. That's the Sheriff's Office and the Buffalo Police Department. And when we were first made aware of this, I spoke with District Attorney Mike Kane and Deputy DA John Ferraletto, and they were very direct in sharing their obvious and immediate concern with this. So thereafter, we really dug in along with the Buffalo PD and worked this thing, you know, to fruition. Our marked unit stopped this individual yesterday on Forest Avenue, and as an aside, he was smoking marijuana in the car and was also charged with DWI drugs. You know, it's an unfortunate situation when these things arise. It's, you know, irrespective of whether it's the Buffalo Police Department or the Sheriff's Office or the DA's office, these are all human organizations, and, you know, from time to time, we've had to arrest some of our own. I know the Buffalo Police have been in that position over the years from my days in the BPD, and you know, this case, of course. So with that, I just want to leave you with that this was taken very seriously and acted upon immediately. So I'll turn it over to DA Mike Kane.
Thank you, Under Sheriff and Commissioner. So Delancey Shannon Brown was an employee of ours until yesterday. He was terminated yesterday immediately upon his arrest. As soon as we became aware of this, we immediately took steps to contain and control what he could do in the office yesterday. He was at work yesterday, but we made sure that what he could do in the course of his job yesterday was limited. We did that while trying to be careful not to compromise the investigation. Because obviously this was a very serious accusation, and when we first became aware of it, it was our understanding that the police and the sheriff's department didn't quite have enough to charge. And during the course of yesterday, they developed enough information, enough evidence to file charges. And so we didn't want to tip off Mr. Shannon Brown. We did not want to compromise the investigation in any way. We supported the investigation. We worked with our partners, both at the Erie County Sheriff's Department and at the Buffalo Police Department. And I made sure, and Deputy District Attorney John Ferletto made sure that we were in touch with them throughout the course of the day, and that they understood the urgency with which we needed this resolved, if it could be. And fortunately, they worked extremely hard, and really, quite frankly, at lightning speed, were able to get enough evidence late yesterday afternoon to charge Mr. Shannon Brown. He is, as I indicated, he has been terminated from our office, and we will now be moving forward with a motion for a special prosecutor. The two charges that he is facing are misdemeanor charges. He will be appearing in Buffalo City Court for arraignment on those charges. I've already advised Judge Susan Egan that we are going to need a special prosecutor on this case. The motion is, if it hasn't been filed yet, it'll be filed at some point later this morning or early this afternoon. Obviously, our office cannot handle this case. We have a conflict, and Judge Egan will, I'm sure, appoint a special prosecutor to take the case from here. Our investigation will continue. I should say the Buffalo Police Department's investigation and the Sheriff's Department's investigation will continue. We will, of course, cooperate with that investigation. And, I suppose the message here is that, of course, nobody is above the law. We hire our attorneys and our support staff, and we entrust them with confidential information, and it's an outrage that this behavior took place. It's an outrage that he violated that trust. And, of course, I should always say these are allegations at this point. He is innocent until proven guilty, but the allegations, if proven to be true, are outrageous. And quite frankly, he violated the trust. Again, if the allegations are true, and it's important that the public understands that. We have almost 200 employees in the Erie County District Attorney's Office. They all swear by a confidentiality agreement. They all handle very serious and confidential information, just like our partners in the police agencies across this county. And it's important that they understand and that the public understands that, all of our people do so with, the greatest amount of integrity and ethics. And as soon as we became aware of this, we immediately acted upon it. I expressed the urgency with which I needed this brought to a conclusion. And in the meantime, we were able to control any further information that Mr. Shannon Brown might have. And he was unable to do any further damage during the day yesterday until he was arrested late yesterday afternoon, early evening, I think it was. So in any event, that concludes my remarks. We will be asking for a special prosecutor, as I said, and the case will be handled by some other district attorney and move forward with the prosecution. He has not been arraigned yet. The arraignment dates, I think, because there are two different agencies, my understanding is they may be two different arraignment dates, but that's up to the court system to figure out. So I'll take any other questions. Sure. I should point out that Delancey Shannon Brown started working with us on June 10th of this year. So he was employed by us for approximately 5 weeks, a little over 5 weeks. He did work for us as an intern, unpaid intern, a few years ago in 2021, I believe it was, for several months. And then he was in law school at the time. And shortly after graduating from law school, he took the bar exam. And pending the results of that bar exam, we also employed him as under an order provided to us by the appellate division. We have had several lawyers over the past few years work as under a temporary order until they pass the bar. They have limited ability to handle cases during that period of time. And he worked in that capacity for about 4.5 months a couple of years ago. When he finally passed the bar just recently and was admitted and sworn in formally to the New York State Bar at the end of May, I believe it was, he was hired and started with us on June 10th, just about 5 weeks ago. So that concludes my remarks. Any questions? I'll be happy.
What is the misconduct?
So I'm gonna defer to Commissioner Grimalia and or Under Sheriff Cooley on that. But essentially what he is accused of doing, in addition to the driving under the influence, and we have to be careful, Mark, you understand, with how much detail we share at this point in time, especially because I'm not going to be the prosecuting agency. I'm not going to be the district attorney handling this case. I do not want to do anything that is going to compromise the ability of for the special prosecutor to prosecute the case, and divulging information could very well do that, as you certainly are aware in other cases. But he was involved with potentially sharing information or trying to share information about cases with people that have no business knowing about our cases. And we became aware of that and immediately took action on it.
Was his phone number found with someone that you were looking at? Is that how you...
Yeah, I'll let the sheriffs or Commissioner Grimalia ask, but the answer to that question is yes.
Yeah, as I said, so we've had an ongoing unrelated investigation into another case. And as a normal course of that business, cell phone records were obtained. And when you get cell phone records and when you're looking at this information, you're obviously looking at the information, the phone numbers, who they're attached to. That's how this was stumbled across, if you will. It should also be noted that the individual that we believe that the allegations of sharing some of that information with is a convicted felon, someone that has a prior criminal justice involvement, someone that he's been long time friends with, so obviously that was another concern. But again, this was something that we just came across as a part of a different investigation.
How does this jeopardize any cases that he was handling?
You know, I think, well, I'll speak briefly, but obviously that's going to take a lot of look. But he's only employed for 5 weeks. I don't, Mike, if you want to address that.
So we're first of all, he's not handling any further cases. Of course, he's terminated. So we're going to do an investigation about all the cases that he handled over the last 5 weeks. You know, the good thing is he was at a very low level in our office. He had just started 5 weeks ago. He had handled, a lot of, vehicle and traffic matters in Buffalo City Court. And, with him being brand new, he did so with training and supervision by his superiors. We have an assistant bureau chief and a bureau chief in that office and in that department, I should say. And, the kinds of cases he would have handled were very low-level cases, but he had access to other information and in other cases, and that's what's concerning, obviously, and that's what brought us all here today.
So he's facing one misdemeanor charge currently.
Two misdemeanors.
Official misconduct.
That is an A misdemeanor under the New York State Penal Law, and he's also facing a driving while under the influence of drugs, which is an unclassified misdemeanor under the Vehicle and Traffic Law.
Are there additional charges?
No, not at this point, but the investigation is going to be continued, and what develops from here is, remains to be determined.
Is there any sort of internal vetting process that could have prevented something like this? I mean, how do you go about preventing something in the future happening with another employee?
Well, we have, as I mentioned, we have 200 employees. They all have access to information that is important in criminal cases, and we talk to them. We have them sign agreements about confidentiality, and we're very careful in talking to our people about the important nature of the work that they're doing. At the end of the day, we're dealing with human beings, and if somebody wants to share information and violate their oath, they can do that, and it's unfortunate. But as soon as we found out it happened, we took serious action with our partners in law enforcement, and he was terminated within a day.
A subpoena was mentioned. Who wrote the subpoena? Who received the subpoena? And what proofs did the subpoena result in? What did you get?
Chief, you want to at least initially address? There's not really much to say on it.
Will you introduce yourself?
Sure. I'm Craig Macy, Buffalo Police Department Chief of Detectives. We worked with our partners to be able to obtain that subpoena for the actual call history. From there, we were able to obtain a search warrant for the original target's cell phone. And in that cell phone, there was more evidence supporting further investigation into the ADA.
So you do or do not have the cell phone records from the assistant DA at this point in time, do you?
We have the original target's cell phone records.
But you don't have the DA's. Do you expect to get
it? We will. Yes.
Is that cell phone a personal cell phone, or was it provided by the county?
Personal cell phone, sir.
Commissioner, can you talk about what this does to possibly risk an ongoing investigation as well as put officers who may be working undercover at risk when something like this happens?
Well, I mean, I think any time there's a violation of the public trust by anybody standing up here in our profession, that puts lives at danger. It puts the community at danger. It puts our officers, our detectives, it puts our operations in danger. And that's why we all take this matter extremely seriously and moved rapidly. There's an expectation that we have to be a step above, that we have to be, you know, above that fray, and we are certainly going to come down as hard as possible. The FBI was involved. We normally, you see the two departments up here, the law enforcement departments, the sheriffs and the Buffalo Police Department. We work together every day. We're working on cases every single day, and that also includes the FBI with task force officers. We have a regular joint working operation, so the FBI is aware of this, and they are looking to see if there are any federal laws that were also violated. And again, we are going to ask that any and all applicable laws be applied in this particular case.
In terms of the information share, was it like text messages, is it documents, names of witnesses, can you?
We're not gonna get into the depths, that stuff that will have to go through the court process and be revealed throughout the process. As you know, this is still an ongoing investigation and there's other things that we're looking into, so we're not gonna get in or divulge any of the deeper facts. However, the allegation is that there were files that were accessed in order to gain knowledge and divulge information that we believe that he felt might be beneficial to this individual.
I just have one question. Do you believe that he may have knowledge of other crimes that have happened in Buffalo and may have passed information on to other cases besides the one we know about now?
I don't know what he knows. We're going to work through that part of the investigation. We're going to dig a lot deeper into this, and we'll work through it. But again, as has been stated, he's fortunately only been an employee for just over 5 weeks. So that, you know, that really limits his knowledge base, but we certainly are going to look at every single aspect.
Just for clarity's sake, the cell phone that was traced to the ADA that was involved in this investigation, was that the person who he's accused of passing information to?
Yes.
So it wasn't somebody else?
No. That's where the investigation launched in a completely different direction.
So you brought in the FBI, you got in the sheriff's office. Why couldn't the Buffalo Police Department handle it themselves? Specifically, why was the sheriff's office needed and why was the FBI?
I wouldn't say that we brought the FBI in. We regularly work together every day. Our investigators and our officers are always working together. Because of the importance of this case, we wanted to bring in and work collaboratively on this on multiple levels.
One or two more.
GAK, are you able to review in your internal system what user was looking at what file?
Yes. That's an audit trail that we are in the process of undergoing, and we're going to continue to do that to know exactly what he has looked at, and we will have the answer to that. We already know quite a bit of information with respect to what he had access to and what he looked at. And that's why we're here today. But we will continue to do that as part of our assistance in the investigation.
So you found out about it in the morning. He wasn't arrested until 6 or around 6 o'clock. So he was working. Was someone tailing him, someone watching him
Yes.
during this period?
Yes. First of all, he had we kept him out of court for the most part in the morning. And we were trying to do this carefully to not tip him off that this was taking place, because at the time we became aware of this, there was not enough to charge him. During the course of the day, it became apparent that, late yesterday afternoon, it became obvious that the Buffalo Police Department and the Sheriff's Department had enough information, probable cause, to make the arrest. As soon as that happened, we took steps to make sure that he didn't have access to any further information or his computer. But we monitored him throughout the course of the day. He had supervision throughout the course of the day. And we made sure that while not tipping him off, he wasn't able to do anything further that would have caused problems with other cases.
Did you try to make any calls during that time or text?
Maki, I do know that there was some. He took a call late in the day, but at that point it was we had already made our decision. He was being terminated, and they had made their decision that they were going to arrest him.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.